nothing to do with Buck ever again. I don't think I can forgive my father for thinking I was the one in the wrong. He doesn't even know what happened. No one does. I can't talk to Mom about this or Susan. My sister has barely been kissed. As much as I'd like to tell Jillian, I can't. I can't even tell my best friend. My dress is ruined, and even if it wasn't, I'd never want to wear it again. I feel ugly and dirty and so ashamed.
October 14th, Latin class. Leslie, are you all right? You've been so quiet lately, and that isn't like you. Is your dad out of work again? I bought an album yesterday by a new group called the Rolling Stones. My dad listened to Satisfaction and ordered me to destroy the record because he considers the lyrics indecent. I think they're swell. Have you seen the show Get Smart? I laughed all the way through it. It's so much better than My Mother the Car. Jillian. Leslie's Diary. October 26, 1965. Buck phoned, and this time I was unlucky enough to answer. He begged me to see him. I said no, but he turned up at the house anyway and insisted on taking me to the Dairy Queen for a dilly bar. I didn't want to go, but my dad asked me if I considered myself too good for a man who worked at the mill. I told him not seeing Buck didn't have anything to do with his job. Buck and I sat and talked at the Dairy Queen, and he apologized over and over. He promised me nothing like that will happen again. He seemed so sincere. Tears came to his eyes, and I wanted to believe him. Then, when we got in his car, we started kissing. Before I realized what he was planning to do, he had his hand up my dress. I could see he was getting excited, and I immediately put an end to our necking. Buck got mad, and what he said made me feel kind of guilty. He kept saying how crazy he is about me and how much he needs me. We ended up doing it again. I could have stopped him, but I didn't. At least it didn't hurt this time. When we finished, I started crying. Buck didn't understand why. I'm not sure I do either, but I couldn't make myself stop. I told him it would be better if we didn't see each other again, and he said it's because I think I'm too good for him, just the way Dad claimed. He dropped me off at the house and then took off with his tires squealing.
Murphy's Texaco, charge slip. November 20th, 1965. Quantity, 9 gallons. Per gallon, 0.309. Total, $2.78. Attendant, Nick Murphy. Signed, Jillian Lawton.
Jillian's Diary. December 14th, 1965.
I stopped at the Texaco station with a fruitcake for Mr. Murphy. He seemed surprised that a customer would remember him at Christmas and gave me an entire set of matching juice glasses. Jimmy knew I'd been collecting them whenever I filled up my tank and must have told his father. I was disappointed Nick wasn't there. Last week, I saw him riding his motorcycle in front of Holy Name Academy and wondered if he was looking for me. I hope he was. My heart beat so fast when I saw him. He pumps my gas almost every time I come to the station now. Sometimes we talk, but he's usually too busy to say more than hello. Leslie warned me that I'm flirting with danger. She says Nick is dangerous. I see it in his eyes and the way he looks at me, as though I'm the only girl he's ever wanted. Whenever he focuses on me, I can actually feel it. The air between us gets hot and heavy like it does before a big storm. This shivery feeling goes all through me and doesn't stop for a long time afterward. I'd be a fool to break it off with Scott. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't want to hurt Scott's feelings, but I'm drawn to Nick the way a moth is to a flame. Scott has been a good boyfriend, and I'm the envy of every girl at school. I know if I broke up with him, he wouldn't have any trouble getting a new girlfriend. That makes me wonder if I should stop seeing him.
Nick has never asked me out, never called me at home. For the longest time, I didn't even think he remembered my name. The most he's done is fill up my car with gas and flirt a little. I can't hurt Scott over that. Not when he's been so sweet and considerate. Speaking of breaking up, I wish Leslie would dump Buck Knowles. He treats her terribly. At first it was exciting that Buck wanted to date Leslie. He recently turned 22 and no one else in class is dating anyone that much older. The fact that he's so attracted to her tells us all that we're no longer girls. We're women now. But I don't care how much older and more sophisticated Buck is. He doesn't treat Leslie the same way he did when they first started seeing each other. I don't know what's wrong with her lately, but she hasn't been herself. She tells me she's going to break up with Buck, and then she never does. When I ask her about it, she always has some excuse for why she can't. It's like she's caught in a trap and doesn't know how to break free. The whole world seems to be in turmoil. The war in Vietnam is heating up, and there was a huge protest rally in Oakland. When I asked my dad about it, he said it was vital that we wipe out communism. He thinks it's a good idea for the United States to be involved in the war. My father is the smartest man I know. If he believes in this war, then I'll do whatever I can to support it. I finally figured out what I'm getting Mom for Christmas. A book. I know that sounds boring, but she enjoys reading. And The Shoes of the Fisherman by Morris West is one I know she'd enjoy. Dad subtly dropped that hint, and I was grateful. Les and I should be able to spend time together over Christmas break. And maybe then she can tell me what's wrong, because something definitely is. I've been her best friend since first grade. I know her as well as she does herself. Whatever it is has to do with Buck. I'm convinced of that. 1966. January 3rd, Latin class. Dear Jillian, you want to know what my New Year's resolution is? First and foremost, it's getting that scholarship from the Soroptimists. I want to be a nurse. Secondly, I'm going to break up with Buck. I mean it this time. Meet me after class. Leslie. Latin class. Les. Where have I heard that before? I've got a dentist appointment after Latin. Call me tonight, okay? Jillian. Jillian's Diary. January 3rd, 1966. Today was the first day back at school following Christmas break, and it was hectic. Leslie and I had lunch together, and we passed notes in Latin class. Sister Angelica is half blind and hasn't got a clue what's going on behind her back. I'm so happy Leslie is breaking up with Buck. This time she sounds serious about it. I hope so. She told me her resolution for this year, but I didn't tell her mine. I haven't told anyone. I can't. I want Nick Murphy to kiss me. He's so cute, and he's got that dangerous kind of sexiness. He even looks like trouble in his black leather jacket, riding his motorcycle. He makes me go all shaky every time I'm near him. I know Mom and Dad would never let me date him. In their view, anyone who drives a motorcycle is part of a biker gang. I think Nick might have gotten into some sort of trouble with the law, too. Dad mentioned that he didn't think I should gas up at the Texaco station anymore. I asked him why, and he said those Murphys were hotheads. I didn't dare show too much curiosity about that. But I'm paying cash for my gasoline these days instead of using credit. One kiss is all I want, and then I'll be satisfied. Then I can go on with my life, and he can continue with his. My curiosity will be satisfied, and Scott need never know.
January 20th, 1966. Dear Leslie, you won't answer my phone calls, so I'm forced to write you a note and bribe your little sister into giving it to you. The least you can do is talk to me. How are we going to solve our problems if you refuse to have anything to do with me? I know you're upset about what's happened the last few times we went out. But you've got to understand, baby, that kind of frustration can lead to serious physical problems. Can't you tell I'm crazy about you? You're the smartest girl I ever met, and you go to that fancy Catholic girls' school. I felt like the luckiest man alive when you said you'd date a high school dropout like me. I can't let you go. You're the most important thing in my life. Are you going to the school dance Friday night after the basketball game? Your brother said he could find a way to sneak me into the gym. I'll look for you there. Whatever's wrong, I'll make it right. You have my word on that. Buck.
Leslie's Diary. January 21st, 1966. I am so stupid. I can't believe what a disaster tonight was. I swore to myself that if Buck showed up at the school dance, I wouldn't talk to him. Sure enough, he was there. He's everywhere lately. Last Sunday, he sat in the pew behind me during Mass. He must be leaving work early because he's parked outside the academy most afternoons waiting for me. Thank goodness Jillian's been driving me home. Apparently, he had words with my dad about the job because he hasn't been coming over to the house much. That helps. It's been 3 weeks and I've managed to avoid him thus far. Still, he won't leave me alone. No one knows how awful it is to keep looking over my shoulder, worrying and wondering if he's following me. Then he came to the school dance and it seemed everyone there was watching us. Jillian was with Scott or she would have helped me. I didn't want to create a scene and I was afraid Buck was going to pick a fight with Roy Kloster, so I agreed to dance with him. It was awful, a slow dance by the mamas and the papas. Buck held me close, closer than I wanted. And he kept whispering in my ear how crazy he is about me and how he can't sleep nights because he needs me so much. I was proud of myself because I told him I don't think we're good for each other. It's true. All we do is argue. We don't view life the same way. When he drinks, it's like seeing my dad. I told Buck that and he got mad. He said I was playing hard to get and there were plenty of other girls interested in him. That's when I said those other girls were welcome to him and walked off the dance floor. Buck left the dance in a huff, but waited for me outside the gym. When I didn't come out soon enough to suit him, he found Mikey and sent him inside to get me. Buck threatened to yell until I agreed to come out and talk to him. I should never have done it, especially alone, but I couldn't find Jillian and I didn't want to involve Mikey or Susan in this. I could tell Buck had fortified his courage with beer. I realize now it would have been better to return immediately to the dance. Instead, I tried to reason with him. But Buck was angry, just like Dad gets angry, and in no mood to listen. He wanted what he's always wanted from me. Before I could stop him, Buck shoved me against the side of the school and kissed me. I tried to break free, but he tore open the front of my blouse and started mauling my breasts. I don't know what would have happened if Father Morris hadn't happened upon us. He told me to straighten my clothes and get back to the dance. I don't know what he said to Buck afterward. I don't want to know. Father Morris. Ye gads, how am I going to look him in the face again? When I got home from the dance, I wanted to talk to Mom, but she'd had another fight with Dad and was trying to hide that she'd been crying. I sat with her while she talked about Star Trek, this new television series she likes. Mom has troubles enough of her own without listening to mine, so I didn't tell her anything. My life is awful. All I want to do is graduate and get away from home.
February 5th, 1966. Jillian, be my Valentine. Meet me behind the snack booth after the hootenanny. Nick Murphy.
February 6th, Latin class. Jillian, you're not going to do it, are you? What will Scott say? And Jillian, these verbs are impossible. I might as well give up and just accept that I'm going to get a C. Leslie. Les. Scott's visiting the University of Oregon this weekend. He'll never know. I haven't decided if I'll go or not. And Leslie, I'll help you with the verbs. We're going to be co-valedictorians, remember? Jillian. You've got that look in your eyes. You're going to meet him. I can see it. Just promise me one thing. Be careful, and for heaven's sake, don't let your parents find out about this. Leslie. No one else knows. I promise I'll give you a full report afterward. Jillian. Jillian's Diary. February 11th, 1966. Nick Murphy has never lacked nerve, that's for certain. My dad would have a conniption if he found out I was planning to meet Nick. My stomach was in knots the entire hootenanny, even though we sang all my favorite songs. Kumbaya, where have all the flowers gone, and if I had a hammer. Everyone was there, except Nick. I kept looking around for him, and after a while I realized he'd stood me up. I'd agonized for days about whether I should meet him or not, and then Nick Murphy didn't even have the common decency to show up. After the hootenanny, Cindy wanted me to drag the boulevard with her, but I made up some excuse and headed toward the parking lot, half expecting and desperately wanting to find Nick waiting for me. He wasn't there either. I'd been torn about meeting him behind Scott's back, but Nick made the decision easy. I was furious when I left the football field. Then I thought I might have gotten the day wrong or the time or something. Mostly I was just disappointed and angry. How dare he? Just to be on the safe side, though, I decided to double back. Sure enough, there he was, leaning against the snack booth, confident as anything. He had his motorcycle and looked so cool in his leather jacket. He smiled that sexy smile of his when I pulled into the parking lot. It was almost as if he knew I'd come back looking for him. One thing I can't tolerate is arrogance. And Nick's got so much, it's practically coming out his ears. I almost drove away right then and there. But thank goodness I didn't. Before I could tell him how mad I was, he reached for my hand, kissed it, and asked if I'd be his Valentine. I must have looked terribly silly. I know I was confused. Somehow I managed to stutter that I wasn't sure yet. He laughed. I should have told him Scott's already given me a box of chocolates. But just then, my steady was the last person on my mind. We sat in the bleachers and Nick said he'd ended up having to close the station and that was why he'd been late. He said he was glad I'd come back. Then he talked about his family. He mentioned his dad some, but mostly he talked about his mother who died of cancer when he was 10, and Jimmy was 5. I wasn't sure what I expected when he asked to meet me. But I didn't think all we'd do was talk. That was exactly what we did. It was as though we'd been waiting all these months and we both had all this information stored up inside us that we had to get out first. Later, he gave me a ride around the field on the back of his motorcycle, and I slid my arms around his waist and held on. I loved the feel of the wind in my hair and the smell of his leather jacket. Afterward, I was so hoping he'd kiss me, but he didn't. He wanted to. I could tell by the way he kept looking at my lips. When we left, he followed me most of the way home to make sure I got there safely, which made me feel really good. Cherished. He didn't ask to see me again, and that disappointed me. Now that I'm home and in my room, I can't sleep. This excited, happy feeling is keeping me awake. I knew I had to write it all down. I want to remember every last detail. I told Leslie I'd report back everything that happened, but I don't know if I will. This is the first time I've kept anything from her. I know something's happening in her life that she hasn't told me about, and I understand that now. I like Nick so much I can hardly think of anything without him popping into my mind. My New Year's resolution hasn't been fulfilled yet, but I'm positive it's going to happen. The only thing that remains a mystery is when Nick will kiss me. It's no longer an if. He wants to kiss me as much as I want him to. I just hope it's soon. March 10th, Latin class. Verb conjugations are so boring. Isn't it great that the Beatles are coming to Seattle? I'd love to go to the movies with you on Saturday, but I can't. My mom needs me to help around the house with spring cleaning. What's charade about anyway? I think Cary Grant is so handsome. If Sister Angelica finds this note, we're both going to end up with a detention. Love, Leslie. March 15th, 1966. Dear Leslie, I've missed you. School was a real drag while you were out. There's no one to pass notes to when you're not here. No one I like, anyway. I've been worried about you. Is everything all right? We hardly talk anymore. I know you're upset about seeing Buck with that other girl, but isn't that what you wanted? Sister Angelica said you look pale, and you do. You've lost weight, too. Lucky you. I'll see you at lunch, Jillian.
March 17th. Buck, we need to talk. Please phone me right away. Leslie.
Soroptimists International of Pine Ridge, 206th Avenue, Pine Ridge, Washington, 98005. March 20th, 1966. Miss Leslie Adamski, 220 Railroad Avenue, Pine Ridge, Washington, 98005. Dear Miss Adamski, it is a great pleasure to inform you that we have selected you as this year's recipient of our $1,000 college scholarship. The committee was impressed with your essay about your desire to further your education. It's bright, responsible young women like you who are the hope and future of our country. Congratulations. Sincerely, Sarah Janis, President. Jillian's Diary, March 23rd, 1966. I met Nick again and, of all places, in the town cemetery. He showed me where his mother's buried, and we left flowers there. We walked through the cemetery holding hands and talked for a long time afterward. He told me his dad fought in World War II and has a medal for distinguished service. My dad was in the war, too, but he never talks about it. This is the third time Nick and I have met on the sly like this. I love it when he takes me out on his Harley because I can put my arms around his waist and press my cheek against his back. Nick admitted that riding his motorcycle gives him a surge of power and freedom, and he says it's a real high. What's strange is that so far all we've done is hold hands. Every time we're together, I'm convinced he's going to kiss me, and it hasn't happened. Not from lack of wanting on my part. Sometimes I wonder why he keeps asking me to meet him. The last person I expected to be the perfect gentleman is Nick Murphy. Tonight, I finally got the courage to ask him if he ever intended to kiss me. He didn't answer right away. In fact, it took him so long I thought he might not have heard me. Then he said he wanted to kiss me more than anything, but he refused to do it while I'm wearing Scott's class ring. I wish now that I hadn't asked. Not because I dread breaking it off with Scott. It's always been understood that we'd eventually go our separate ways. He'll be attending the University of Oregon in Eugene, and I'll be either at Barnard or the University of Washington. I dread returning Scott's ring because I know what will happen between Nick and me once I do. The electricity between us is so strong, I swear sometimes it crackles. Up until now, we've both pretended it isn't there. But it is. Some nights I lie awake and try to imagine what it would be like to have Nick Murphy make love to me. Then I feel guilty for thinking such impure thoughts and immediately say the rosary. Before we parted, I told Nick we probably shouldn't meet again. I hoped he'd argue and tell me how badly he wanted to be with me. Instead, he agreed. But we will continue seeing each other and meeting whenever we can. He knows it, and so do I. I can't stay away from him any more than he can stay away from me. As different as we are, we both recognize that we were meant to be together. I've dated Scott forever, but I've never felt like this about him. Every moment I'm with Nick, I feel this intensity, this wonder. It's strange that we could be so different, and yet so alike. March 24th, 1966. Dearest Leslie, surprise! Remember when you were a little girl and I used to tuck notes inside your lunchbox? I bet you'd forgotten. Leslie, I found the letter from the Soroptimists in your room, and no, I wasn't sneaking through your chest of drawers. I read it and almost burst with pride. Why didn't you tell me? I'm so excited it was all I could do to keep from shouting. Oh, Leslie, if only you knew how thrilled I am that you have a chance to attend nursing school. I always wanted to, but as you know, your father and I got married instead. Were you afraid to tell us about the scholarship? Or did you want to surprise us later? We both know how your father feels about you girls getting a college education, but he can't argue with a scholarship, can he? You've been so quiet lately. Not like yourself at all. If you are afraid to mention the scholarship, I want to assure you how delighted I am. Don't worry about Dad. I'll make sure he doesn't stand in your way. I'm so pleased for you, sweetheart, and so very proud. Love, Mom. March 31st, Latin class. Leslie, what's wrong? I haven't been your best friend all these years without knowing when something's bothering you. Tell me. Did your dad lose his job again? Meet me after drill team practice. Jillian. Leslie's diary. April 1st, 1966. I don't know what I'm going to do. I couldn't put off telling Buck any longer. I'm pregnant. I thought he'd be angry and yell at me. But instead, he seemed almost glad. No one knows, not even Jillian. I can't talk about it to anyone. The minute I start thinking about what this means for my future, I start to cry. That's all I seem to do lately. As soon as the words were out, Buck held me and kissed me and told me how happy he was to have me back. He doesn't care if the only reason I'm his is because of the baby. Now he wants us to get married. I don't know if that's the best answer for either of us. He wanted to elope, drive to Idaho right away, but I refused to do that. It seems like an easy out, but if we marry now, I won't be able to graduate. If I can't have college, then at least I can get my high school diploma. Buck has been really good about everything. He's been over to the house almost every night since I told him. He and my dad seem to be getting along better now, and Mom's already treating him like another son. I'm beginning to think he's right and we should get married. Tonight he told me he's got the whole thing worked out. He talked to an army recruiter this afternoon and decided enlisting would be the best solution for us. That way, all the medical expenses for the baby will be covered. I don't want Buck to enlist. There's so much talk about what's happening in Vietnam. Although Buck said the recruiter told him he could get an assignment in Germany, but only if he enlists within the next month. With the way things are developing in Vietnam, Buck thinks he should take the Germany assignment while he can. I agreed, but I feel guilty about him maybe risking his life for the baby and me. Buck and I do it all the time now. There doesn't seem to be any reason not to. That's what Buck says. I don't mind so much, I guess, but I find it hard to go to church or explain why I can't take communion. Jillian's diary, April 12th, 1966. Something's up with Leslie. Weeks after breaking up with Buck, all of a sudden she's seeing him again. For a while, she was almost her old self. And then, without warning, he's back. I've tried to talk to her, but she insists everything's all right and then I'm imagining things. Maybe so. Whatever's bugging her, she's keeping to herself. I've never seen her so secretive. The Sound of Music is coming to town, and we've both been waiting to see it for weeks. Now she has some hokey excuse about why she can't go. I'm worried about her, and I wish she'd talk to me. Things aren't right with Scott either. Someone must have told him about Nick and me, because he's been acting possessive and unreasonable lately. It all started when I told him I didn't want to go to the junior-senior prom. He seems to think it's a foregone conclusion that I'll be his date. I probably should attend the dance with him, but I don't think I can pretend to be his girl when my heart belongs to Nick. Everything is so much worse since Scott's been nominated for prom king. I'm pleased for him, I really am. He deserves it and is a wonderful athlete. But now there's all this pressure on me because I'm supposed to be his girlfriend. Scott can't believe I'm turning down the opportunity to be prom queen. I haven't heard from Nick either. It seems he took my suggestion that we not meet again seriously. I got tired of waiting for him to contact me and went to his dad's gas station. As luck would have it, Nick was working the pumps. Other than asking if I wanted him to fill up my tank, he didn't say one word. Everyone's treating me like I have the plague. First Leslie, then Scott. Even Nick's mad at me, and I don't know what I've done.
April 20th, 1966. Dear Jillian, I was your first fool and I sincerely doubt I'll be your last. If you want to break up right before prom and graduation, then that's just fine. There are plenty of other girls interested in going to the biggest dance of the year with me. Since you weren't inclined to explain this sudden change of heart, all I can say is goodbye. Thanks for the prompt return of my class ring. Scott.
May 1st, 1966. My dearest Leslie, it seems odd to be writing my own daughter a letter, but I know if I try to talk to you, I'll never get through this without crying. To say that your news was a surprise would be an understatement. How I wish you'd come to me months ago, so we could have talked things out and decided what to do before dragging Buck and your father into it. If you'd prepared me, I might have been able to break the news to your father more carefully. If you remember anything from tonight, please don't let it be the terrible names he called you. He didn't mean them. Not a one. He was upset and angry. You know how he gets after a few beers. What I'm about to tell you now may come as a shock. Years ago, your father and I found ourselves in exactly the same predicament. Yes, Leslie, I was pregnant with you when your dad and I married. You were born 6 months after the wedding. One day you would have checked the dates and figured it out on your own. My father said those same hateful things to me. He threw me out of the house and said I was never to come back. I didn't speak to either of my parents again until after you were born. I didn't want to get married. Like you, I had my own dreams. But at the time, it seemed best for all concerned. So often in the years since, I've wondered what my life would have been like had I taken a different path. I've worked hard to be a good wife and mother to you kids. But every now and then I look back on the girl I once was and remember the precious dreams I held so dear. I married so young, barely 16. And it seemed those dreams went up in smoke the minute your father slipped the wedding band on my finger. Little did I realize then that along with everything else you inherited from me, your blue eyes and blonde hair, you'd be stuck with repeating my mistakes, too. Look at my life, Leslie. Is this what you want for your future? 6 kids and a husband who has a hard time holding down a job? A husband who has a harder time refusing a bottle? I look at Buck and I see your father all over again. It seems so clear to me now. You're smart, just like I was back in high school. Don't you know how proud I felt when you were invited to join the National Honor Society? Don't throw away your dreams the same way I did. Leslie, despite what your father insists, the thought of you marrying Buck leaves me shaking with fear. Look at me, sweetheart. Because I'm terribly afraid that your future is my past. I'm pleading with you not to make the same mistakes I did. Think hard and long before you decide to marry Buck. I'll deal with your father and do whatever I can to help you. Love, Mom. May 1st. Nick, meet me behind the snack booth on prom night. Jillian. Leslie's Diary. May 5th, 1966. I felt my baby move for the first time, and it surprised me so much that I stopped ironing and pressed my hand to my stomach. In the last few weeks, I thought that light fluttering might have been the baby, but there was no mistaking it this time. I don't know what I'm going to do. Mom wrote me a letter and said she was afraid I was making the same mistakes she did and urged me not to marry Buck. I wish I was stronger. Not physically, but emotionally. Everyone's pressuring me. Dad and Buck are adamant that marriage is the right thing. More and more, Buck acts like we're already married. Just when I thought I could go away and have the baby in a home, I learned that Buck had enlisted in the army without any of the guarantees that will keep him out of Vietnam. He did it for the baby and me. He loves me. I know he does. I'm so afraid he's going to end up fighting in that horrible war and all on my account. So many people are against the war. There's talk of a huge rally at the Washington Monument protesting our involvement. Now that Buck's enlisted, I can't turn my back on him. Even if I found the strength to go away to one of those homes,
I'd never have the courage to give my baby up for adoption. But I can't raise a child all by myself. Even though Mom would help me, there's only so much she can do. I already know my dad's thoughts on the subject. I feel like there's no solution to this. Whatever I decide will bitterly disappoint one of my parents. I finally told Jillian about the baby and she burst into tears. I wept too, although I've long recovered from the shock. She's sworn to secrecy. She knows if anyone at school ever found out, I wouldn't be allowed to graduate. Like everyone else, Jillian wants to know what I plan to do, as though I had a limitless number of options. Dear God in heaven, how I wish I did. She broke up with Scott, and although she didn't say why, I knew it was over Nick Murphy. He's all she thinks about. Lately, I've been listening to the radio, just lying on my bed and staring up at the ceiling. The Beatles have a song, Eleanor Rigby. I'm beginning to feel like the girl in that song. Susan comes in and talks to me, and we cry together. If this was happening to her, she wouldn't listen to either Buck or Dad. She's always been stronger than me. I told her that, and she stunned me by crying. She said she'd drop out of school and get a job and support me and the baby if I asked her to. I couldn't, but I love her all the more for offering. The other kids don't know yet, although I'm sure Mike suspects. We don't talk about it. We can't. I saw Mom talking to Father Morris on Friday. I think she was talking about Buck and me. If we do marry, I want it to be in the church. If I have anything to be grateful for, it's that my parents didn't kick me out of the house the way Mom's parents did to her. Jillian's Diary, May 15th, 1966, Prom Night. This had to be one of the most incredibly romantic nights of my life. Nick was waiting for me when I arrived at the football field, and he was dressed in a suit complete with tie and shiny new shoes. I was in my prom dress. I lied to Mom and Dad about meeting Scott at the prom. They seemed a little suspicious that Scott wasn't picking me up, but I explained that he couldn't because he's one of the King nominees. I hated lying, but they'd flip if they found out I was meeting Nick Murphy at the football stadium instead. Nick set up his transistor radio and held out his arms to me, and we danced beneath the stars, just the two of us. He held me so close I could feel his heart beating. Even when a fast song came on, we danced slow, right through the commercials and everything. Neither one of us spoke for a long time. After a while, he asked me what excuse I'd given Scott for not attending the prom. That was when I confessed I'd returned Scott's class ring. I've never seen anyone's eyes light up the way Nick's did once I told him. It didn't take him long to kiss me after that. Scott's kissed me plenty of times. I've been kissed by other boys, too, but this is the first kiss I've felt from the top of my head to the tips of my toes. I think Nick was just as surprised. We both trembled afterward, and he didn't kiss me again until it was time to leave. All the while we were together, I kept thinking how silly it is that we're meeting on the sly like this. But I didn't say anything for fear of breaking the mood. I like Nick so much. But I'm worried about how my parents would react if they knew I was dating him, especially my dad. He's got the wrong impression of Nick. I don't know how to convince Dad what a wonderful man Nick Murphy is. I don't dare say a word, but I hate deceiving my parents like this. It's even worse to feel that I need to. The class of 1966, Holy Name Academy, announces its commencement exercises, Saturday evening, May 28th at 7 o'clock, Pine Ridge Community Center, Pine Ridge, Washington. June 1st, 1966. Dear Jillian, you know I can't stand it when we argue. You're my best friend, and we mean too much to each other to let anything or anyone come between us. That said, I want you to know, I do believe you. If you say you saw Buck with some other girl on graduation night, then I know you did. But couldn't it have been someone who looks like Buck? I asked him about it, and he claims you couldn't have seen him. He swears he wasn't with any other girl.
He implied that you're jealous and trying to make trouble for him. I know it isn't true, but I also know you don't think I should marry him. All I can say is that it must have been someone who looked a lot like him. Please, let's put this incident behind us. You're my best friend, and I love you. Leslie.
P.S. I thought your valedictory speech was wonderful. You did a much better job of it than I would have. I know it was our dream to be co-valedictorians, but that wasn't meant to be.
Mr. and Mrs. Michael Adamski request the pleasure of your company at the marriage of their daughter, Leslie Louise Adamski, to David James Knowles, Saturday, June 11, 1966, at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, St. Catherine's Catholic Church, 404 Mitchell Avenue, Pine Ridge, Washington. Reception immediately following the ceremony. Mr. and Mrs. Bucknells, July 2, 1966. Dear Mom and Dad, I'm busy writing thank you notes for the wedding gifts, and I realized I hadn't sent one to you. Buck and I owe you both so much and are extremely grateful for everything you've done. The pot and pan set is wonderful, and far and above what Buck and I expected, especially after you paid for the wedding. We're very grateful for the used crib, too. Buck is going to refinish it once he's back from basic training. I love you both so much. Buck, Leslie, and... ?
Jillian's Diary, August 3rd, 1966. I don't think I've ever been more disappointed in my mom and dad. I finally convinced Nick that my parents prize honesty above all else, and that we should simply tell them we're going steady. He came to the house just the way I asked, and Dad answered the door and almost didn't let him in because of his police record. He was once charged with assault. It happened during a fight 3 years ago, and he was actually defending another boy. He got a suspended sentence. I stood with Nick and we held hands. But I could see that Nick was close to losing his cool. Mom wouldn't even look at him. And Dad treated him like a criminal for having the audacity to ask his little girl out on a date. What neither of my parents seems to understand is that I'm not a child. I'm 18 years old and perfectly capable of making my own decisions, and I reminded my father of this before he had time to tell me otherwise. Dad insisted that it didn't matter what age I am. As long as I live under his roof, I have to do what he says, and he doesn't want me dating Nick Murphy. Then Nick and Dad started shouting at each other, and Nick stormed out. I haven't spoken to Mom or Dad since, but they can't stop me from seeing Nick, and they know it. They think that just because I'm leaving for college in a few weeks, what Nick and I feel for each other will end. I haven't told Nick yet, but I've decided I'm going to marry him. I knew it the first time he kissed me. No, even before that, when he wouldn't kiss me because I was wearing Scott's ring. He's everything I want in a husband. Three girls in our graduating class are already married. Leslie, Judy, and Pam. Soon it will be Nick and me, and then we'll see what Dad has to say. Name: David Michael Knowles. Born September 29, 1966. Weight: 6 pounds 7 ounces. Length: 20 inches. Parents: Buck and Leslie Knowles. Jillian Lawton, Barnard College, Plimpton Hall, New York, New York, 10025. October 10, 1966. Dearest Leslie, I can't believe it. You're a mother. I opened the birth announcement and nearly screamed with excitement. I loved the picture, but really, Les, little David's going to be mortified when he's older and sees this photo of him only a few hours old with a blue ribbon in his hair. The poor thing. You didn't say a word about labor. Was it horrible? I hate school. Well, not exactly hate it, but I miss everyone so much. Mostly Nick and you, of course. I'm living in a big dorm and sharing a room with Janice Stewart, a girl from Florida. She seems nice, but she isn't you. We talk some, but we don't seem to have a lot in common. She doesn't have a boyfriend back home and doesn't understand what it is to miss someone the way I miss Nick. Speaking of Nick, he can't afford phone calls, and he doesn't want me wasting all my allowance on phoning him, so we write nearly every day. Don't be shocked if I tell you how much I love him. Please don't be like everyone else. Just be happy for me, the way I am for you and Buck. You asked about my classes, and thus far everything's going all right, I guess. The classes, especially history, are wonderful with lots of discussion. If it wasn't for those, I think I'd go nuts. Dad suggested I fulfill all the course requirements in my first year, and I followed his advice. But I did sign up for one psychology class, which I'm really enjoying. New York isn't so bad either. Not the way I thought it would be. Last weekend, Janice and I went into Manhattan and took the ferry over to Ellis Island and climbed the Statue of Liberty. Got a scoot, but I promise I'll write again soon. I hope David likes the baby blanket. It's handmade, although not by me. Love, Jillian. Department of the Army. Detachment C, 500th Personnel Services Battalion. Unit 20121. APOAE 09107. Orders 6510. 22 December 1966. Knowles, David James. 552-02-3776. SFC. 587th SIG. CO 9WFTXAA0. APOAE 09131. You will proceed on permanent change of station as shown. Information concerning port call will be provided separately. You are hereby ordered to report for active duty in Vietnam. Reporting date, 26 December, 1966. 1967. Jillian Lawton, Barnard College, Plimpton Hall, New York, New York, 10025. January 16th, 1967. Dear Nick, I know we only said goodbye a few days ago, and already I find myself missing you so much, I don't know how I can possibly go back to school. I can't bear to be this far away from you. The Christmas holidays were wonderful because of all the time we were able to spend together, despite my parents. You'd think that by now they'd realize you and I are serious. I've always thought of my father as a man of wisdom, but these past 3 weeks have opened my eyes. Okay, he's right, you do have a record, but that happened years ago when you were 14. Everyone makes mistakes, and your record's been clean ever since. I hate to say this, but my father is a fool. I don't want you to feel bad about the argument between me and Dad. It's been building for a long time. I tried to talk to Mom, and she listened, but I know she immediately told my father everything I said. I can't trust her. The only people I can talk to anymore are you and Leslie. How different all our lives are from just a year ago. Last year at this time, the most pressing problem was what theme to choose for the junior-senior prom. Leslie looked good, don't you think? I didn't mind that Buck wasn't there when we went to visit. Little Davy is a beautiful baby. Holding him made me long for a baby of my own. I'd need to think about who his daddy would be. Any volunteers? Again, I want you to know that I truly love the Medal of the Virgin Mary you gave me. I'll treasure it forever. It's especially dear to me because it once belonged to your mother. Every time I miss you, I reach for it and hold it tight and am instantly reassured of your love. It's on a long chain and falls close to my heart. That's where you are, even though we can't be together. You don't need to say the words, Nick. I already know how you feel about me because that's the way I feel about you. I love you, Nick. Heart and soul. I don't care what my parents say. I don't care what anyone says. I'm crazy in love with you. I want you to seriously consider what I mentioned on New Year's Eve. I know Pine Ridge is your home and where your dad's gas station is, but at least consider moving to New York. Just think of all the money we'd save on phone calls and stamps. I can't imagine what life will be like without you for the next 3.5 years. I'm not sure I can continue with school if it means we can't be together. Promise me you'll think about it, okay? And write me soon. I live for your letters. Hugs and kisses, Jillian.
January 27, 1967. My dearest Jillian,
me move to New York? I thought you were joking when you suggested it earlier.
But I can see now that you were serious.
Sweetheart, I can't.
Not because it isn't tempting.
I'm here to tell you everything about you tempts me and has since the first moment I saw you.
More than anything, I want to be close to you.
But Dad needs my help at the gas station.
Jimmy's getting to be a handful, too.
He's 14, and the kid needs his big brother around to keep an eye on him.
Besides, my dad's working out a deal with one of his buddies who teaches at Bailey's Trade School to get me my mechanic certification. I'll be taking some night classes. Seeing that I've been tinkering with cars since I was 12, it seems a waste of time for me to go to some school when I already know practically everything there is to know about engines. But there's more to my decision than sticking around Pine Ridge to help Jimmy and to work with my dad. Me going to New York wouldn't be right for us. We both know what would happen if I found a way for us to be together. First thing, your grades would fall. You're smart, really smart. Sometimes I have to pinch myself to believe that the valedictorian of Holy Name Academy is dating a hellion like me. The temptation would be too much for us. And that wouldn't be good for a couple of Catholic kids who have enough trouble keeping their hands off each other. Feeling the way I do about you, I should be canonized. You don't make it any easier, either. If you think your parents disapprove of me now, you can bet your bottom dollar they'd really hate me if your grades dropped and you turned up pregnant. The last thing I want to do is alienate them completely. Talking about your parents, I'm going to say something I should have said when you were home. Don't concern yourself with this business between your old man and me. I don't mean to be a chump, Jillian, but he is your father. Looking at it from his perspective, you have to admit he's got a point. I have a juvenile police record. Your father wants what's best for you. It's my job to prove to him that what's best for you is me. In other words, this is between your dad and me, not between your dad, you, and me. Understand? In time, I'm going to prove to your parents that I'm worthy of their beautiful daughter. My dad drilled into me a long time ago that anything of lasting value is worth waiting for. You, Jillian, are worth waiting 10 lifetimes for. Another thing, and I know you don't want to talk about this, but we can't ignore it any longer. I registered for the draft last year, and who knows what's going to happen with that. My dad's worried about it, and he's got enough on his plate without me leaving because I want to be with my girl. I love you heart and soul, too. I love you enough to do what's right for us, even when it isn't easy. Study hard. You're going to be a terrific lawyer one day. All my love, Nick. P.S. God bless the families of Virgil Grissom, Edward White, and Roger Chaffee. What a horrible way to die. When I go, I pray it isn't in a fire.
February 4th, 1967. Dear Buck, I haven't heard from you since Christmas, and I hope everything's all right. Almost every night, the television is filled with stories about what's going on in Vietnam. Two of the boys in Susan's class have already decided to enlist as soon as they graduate. Little David is getting big and sassy, just like his daddy. He'll be 5 months old soon and already has a tooth coming in. I'm sending along a few more pictures so you can see for yourself how much he's changing. He's a good baby. I know you don't approve of my part-time job at the library, but the extra money is a blessing. You don't need to worry about strangers watching David either. Mom babysits for me. I've been putting the money I earn aside so I can join you in Hawaii the way you mentioned in your last letter. Don't be angry about me having a job. I like getting out of the house, and you know how much I enjoy reading. Dad wanted you to know there'll be a job for you at the mill once you're out of the army. He'll make sure of that. You can be on the same crew as before. Write me soon, okay? Your wife, Leslie.
Jillian Lawton, Barnard College, Plimpton Hall, New York, New York, 10025. March 9th, 1967. Dear Leslie, it was great to hear from you. I love the photograph of Davy with his one tooth, and I love the picture of you holding him on your lap. You look radiant. like a classic Madonna with child. I'm so glad everything's working out for you, and I'm glad Buck's okay. The news is full of Vietnam. I'm worried about what's happening with our country. I don't understand why we're even there. My parents support the war. They say it's important to wipe out communism before it overtakes the world. I don't know what I believe. I don't want communism to spread either, but I'm not sure it's worth this horrible war. I've been so homesick all week, and your letter went a long way toward cheering me up. I've been in the doldrums ever since Christmas vacation and the disagreement between Nick and my parents. Nick told me to stay out of it, but it's hard not to defend him. Speaking of Nick, did I mention he's in trade school? Plus, he works long hours at his dad's service station. Because he's so busy, he can only write 3 times a week. I miss him so much. It kills me the way Mom and Dad act toward him. When I asked to come home for spring break, they said no, that I'd be home soon enough. Can you believe it? They seem to think that if they keep Nick and me apart, I'll forget about him. Since I can't fly home, I've decided to attend a protest rally and peace march in the city. Janice, my roommate, asked me to go with her. We're making a banner that says, Make Love, Not War. Pete Seeger's going to be there, and Martin Luther King Jr. and Benjamin Spock, the famous pediatrician. The crowd should be huge. Everyone's already talking about it, and the rally isn't even happening until next month. I can't go home, so why shouldn't I attend a peace march? Did I tell you in my last letter how Mom and Dad tried to fix me up with a friend of theirs? He's over 30. He phoned and invited me to dinner. Montgomery Gordon. Even his name is boring. I don't need to meet him to know he's a stuffed shirt. I'm not actually sure why he's in town. He told me, but I've forgotten. I guess that tells you what I thought of him. Needless to say, I declined the invitation. On another subject, I think it's great that you're working at the library part-time. Remember how we used to stay up all night to read books out loud to each other? I miss those times. I'm lonely and miserable, and I hate everything about New York. I never wanted to attend Barnard College. It was Dad's idea. I'm 19 and legally an adult, but my parents continue to control my life. Why can't they accept that I'm my own person? It isn't only being stuck here during spring break. It's Nick, too. I want to be with him. But the minute I mention his name, my parents get all uptight. Dad constantly reminds me that Nick has a police record. Then I remind him that everyone deserves a second chance. You'd think that after spending 19 years raising me, they'd have some faith in my judgment. Oh, well, crying on your shoulder doesn't change anything. But it does help. You were always the one friend I could talk to, no matter what. I'm so happy you're finally going to see Hawaii. I know you and Buck will love it. You both need a little R&R. I knew you'd get to the island sooner or later. Waikiki can be wildly romantic. How I envy you spending a whole week with the one you love. Although it seems like forever, I'll be home in June. We'll spend lots of time together then, I promise. Love, Jillian.
A message from Southeast Asia. March 28th, 1967. Dear Leslie. Baby, I'm crazy to see you again. Everything's been arranged. When you arrive in Hawaii, take the shuttle bus from the airport to the hotel. I'll land the next morning. But the way things happen around here, it wouldn't surprise me if I didn't make it to the hotel until late afternoon. Be waiting for me. I've got 6 months of loving to make up for. So if you're thinking about wasting time sunbathing on the beaches, you can forget that. Give Davy a hug and kiss from his old man. Love, Buck.
Leslie's Diary, April 10th, 1967. I can't believe I'm really here in Hawaii. It's just like Jillian described it, with the tall palm trees, pearly sand, and lush orchids. I can hear the sounds of the ocean from my room, which has a balcony that faces, well, sort of faces, the beach. Normally, we'd be staying in a military hotel, but with so many servicemen coming to the islands from Vietnam, Buck was booked into a civilian hotel. This is going to work out just great. My plane landed at 4 and I took the shuttle, just the way Buck said in his letter. Unfortunately, he didn't tell me what to do about dinner. The room service menu is much too expensive. It'll be a cold day in hell before I pay a